Okay, good evening. We're going to start on time. Again, for those who are just coming late, there are source sheets on the bima, so feel free to take one. We're going to continue our discussion of the themes of davening and Rosh Hashanah. Last week, we spent some time talking about the Brach of Malchios, and this evening, we're going to spend some time reflecting upon Seder Zichronos, which is the second section of the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah. And I'd like to begin this evening by sharing with you a cute little essay that I came upon a couple of years ago. And I think it'll be humorous, but also perhaps a very poignant way of starting this discussion. Forgive me because the copy that I had was a pretty bad copy. So the copy of the copy of the copy is really bad and maybe a little hard for you to read, but I'll read it to you. And I think I can make out every word here. It's called Your Permanent Record. You remember the permanent record? In school, you were constantly being told that if you messed up, the news would be sent to the principal and placed in your permanent record. Nothing more needed to be said. No one had ever seen a permanent record. That didn't matter. We knew it was there. We imagined a steel filing cabinet crammed full of permanent records, one for each kid in the school. I think we always assumed that our permanent record was sent on to college with us and later to our employer, probably with a duplicate to the U.S. government. I have a terrible feeling that mine was the last generation to know what a permanent record was, and that it has disappeared as a concept in history, in society, in our society. There was a time when people really stopped before they did something they knew was deceitful, immoral, or unethical. They didn't stop because they were such holy folks. They stopped because they had a nagging fear that if they did the foul deed, it would end up on their permanent record. At some point in the last few decades, I'm afraid, people wised up to something that amazed them. There is no permanent record. They discovered that regardless of how badly you fouled up your life and the lives of others, there was nothing about it on your record. You would always be forgiven no matter what. So pretty soon, men and women, instead of fearing the permanent record, they started laughing at it. The things that they used to be ashamed of, that once made them cringe when they thought about them, now became interesting aspects of their personalities. If the details were weird enough, the kinds of things that would have really jazzed up the permanent record, people sometimes wrote books confessing them, and the books became bestsellers. They found out that other people from far from scorning them, would line up in the bookstores to get their autographs. Talk show hosts would say, "Thank you for being so honest with us. I'm sure our audience understands how much guts it takes for you to tell us these things." Permanent records were being opened up for the whole world to see, and the sky did not fall in. As Americans began to realize that there probably never have been a permanent record, they deduced that any kind of behavior was permissible. All you had to do was say, "That was a real crazy period of my life," and all would be okay. And this is where we are today. We have accepted the notion that no one is keeping track. No one is even allowed to keep track. I doubt you could scare a school kid nowadays by telling him that the principal was going to inscribe something on his permanent record. The kid would probably file a suit on the Freedom of Information Act and expect to obtain his permanent record by recess. Either that or call it up on his computer and delete it. As for us adults, it has been so long since we believed in the permanent record that the very mention of it now brings a nostalgic smile to our faces. We feel naive for having ever believed that there was such a thing. But who really knows? On some distant day when we check out of this earthly world and approach the gates of our new eternal home, our smiles may freeze. We might just be greeted by a heavenly presence sitting there, casually leafing through a dusty, battered volume of our permanent record as we come jauntily into view. So I don't know who to give credit for this essay. It's cute, and it made us laugh. But as we find ourselves a little more than 1 week before Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembrance, which is one of the names that Chazal give for the day of Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin, so it's really not humorous. It's actually quite poignant, I think quite appropriate and timely, but actually, as we're going to do right now, read together through the Brach of Zichronos and the Musaf, so we are reminded to the contrary, that there is in fact a permanent record, and it is far more of a record and far more permanent than we could ever have imagined when we were sitting in the principal's office in sixth grade. What I'd like to do, and I didn't do this last week, but I would like to read through the Brach of Zichronos with you. It is here on the page and it is not translated. But I have a translation with me, and I will translate phrase by phrase as we go along. I'm going to resist the temptation to comment as we go along, and you know, we'll hopefully, in our minds, we'll process it together, we'll internalize it a little bit, and I'll think it'll be an appropriate foundation upon which our conversation can follow. Again, the Musaf on Rosh Hashanah is unique. It is the longest Amida of the year, and unlike the other times that we daven on Shabbos and Yom Tov, in which we have seven brachos, the first three and the last three, which are always the same, and the middle bracha called Kiddush Kedushas Hayom, which describes the essence of the day. The Musaf on Rosh Hashanah is unique in that there are three central brachos. The first, Malchios, is actually combined with the bracha Kedushas Hayom. And what emerges are three, you know, separate but united themes which serve as sort of the basis of our entire hashkaf, our entire perspective on Rosh Hashanah. So again, last week we spoke about Malchios, and we're going to speak tonight about Zichronos, which again is found on the towards the bottom of the first page, Atah Zocher Ma'aseh Olam. I also noticed when I was reviewing this that the particular source I got this from a website. I believe this is Nusach Sfar. There are not many differences, but there may be one or two, and actually one which was quite fascinating to me, because actually one of the Pesukim, a different Pesuk, is quoted in this Nusach. But for the most part, this is verbatim the way you would say it if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz. If you daven Nusach Sfar, it may actually look more familiar, so you won't notice anything's different. But there's slight variations. Atah Zocher Ma'aseh Olam. On Rosh Hashanah, you remember all the actions that were done in the world. Ufokeid Kol Yitzurei Kedem. And you consider the judgment of all people that have lived. First we speak about actions, and then we speak about the creations, the people. The fanecha niglu kol talumos. Before you, everything is revealed, even that which the person himself did not realize that he did. The hamon is taros shemi breshis, and the myriad actions that were purposely concealed since the days of creation. Ki ein shechachalus nechi seich vadecha. For there's no forgetting before your holy throne of glory. Ve'ein nistar mineged enecha, and it is impossible to hide anything from your eyes. Ato zocher es kol hamif'ol, you remember everything that has happened. V'gam kol hayatzur lo nechachad mineka, and no creature is hidden from your knowledge. Hakol galui v'yadua lefanecha, everything is revealed and known before you, even in the future generations. This is the way Mefarshim explained, hakol galui in the past, V'yadu on the future. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God, sofeh umabit ad sof kol adoros. Since you see and examine all generations from the beginning of the time until the end of time. Ki savi chok zikaron, when you bring the people of the world to judgment on Rosh Hashanah by remembering their deeds, lihi pakeid kol ruach v'nefesh, to judge every body and soul, lihi zacher masim rabim, and you remember the many actions, v'hamon brios le'ein tachlis, and you remember all the numerous actions of the myriad people without end. May Rishis Kazos Hodata, from the beginning of the world, when you judged Adam, who was actually created and sinned on the day that we know to be Rosh Hashanah, from that time you made it known that you would judge on this day, the Yom Adin. Umilfanim Osag Lisa, and even before the world was created, you revealed through your actions that there would be judgment, there would be din in the universe. Zehayom Techilas Masecha. This day, Rosh Hashanah, is the day that man was created. Zikaron Liyom Rishon, and therefore it has been established as a day of remembrance. Kichok LiYisrael Hu. It is a time that is considered to be a time of mercy for Bnei Yisrael. Mishpat LeElohei Yaakov, for it is a day of judgment for the God of Israel, and not only regarding individuals. Va'alamidinos Bo Yeyomer, and on countries, which are really judged first, it is proclaimed, Ezo l'cherev, Ezo l'shalom, which is destined for the sword and which for peace, Ezo l'rav, Ezo l'sova, which is destined for hunger and which for starvation, Uvrios bo yipakedu, and then the individuals will be judged, Las kiram l'chaim l'amaves, to determine, to mention, which will be destined for life and which for death, Mi lo nifkad kayom hazeh, and who, we ask rhetorically, will be able to escape the judgment of this day, because at the time of the judgment, the remembrance of every being and his characteristics come before you, the actions of every person, as far as it relates to their purpose in life, Valilos mitzadi gaver, and even the very small things like a person's footsteps, whether you took a right or a left, you walked this way, that way, all of this is considered. Machshavos adam, the thoughts of man, v'tach bulosav, and his schemes, his strategies, his conspiracies, v'yitzrei malayish, and the strength of one's good and evil inclinations at the time of the action are all considered. Ashrei ish shelo yishkacheka. Praiseworthy is a man who does not forget. Uben adam yisam itzbach. And praiseworthy is a man who truly puts his trust in you. Kidoshechel yolam lo yikashelu v'lo yikomu anetzach kolachosim bach. For those who cling to you constantly, no evil will ever befall them, and those who trust in you will not be embarrassed forever. Because the remembrance of all their actions come before you, and you will search their actions to find merit so that they will be found righteous in judgment. So we're just going to take a breath for a second, and forgiving, it's not usually my style to read and read and read without giving us a moment to process. But this again is the first segment of the Brach HaZachonis that we're going to say on Rosh Hashanah. And we make it very, very clear, abundantly clear, that there is in fact a permanent record. And it is very frightening. This is a very ominous message. This is one that is very overwhelming, and one that's really very frightening, regardless of how many redeeming qualities we may have, and regardless of how successful we may be when we stand before our HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Yom HaDin, just considering the impact of what it is that we are reading over here is really quite gripping. At the second segment of the bracha, we try to apply it. Now, just general word of introduction, but it's important as we appreciate the format of the davening on Rosh Hashanah. The way the brachos, machos, zuchonos, and shofars work is that each bracha begins with sort of introduction, which we just read, followed by proofs from the texts, from the psukim. From the Torah, and then the Ksuvim, and then the Nevi'im, in that order, remarkably, even though normally we speak about Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim over here, it's presented differently. Question for another time. So we have three Psukim from the Torah, three from the Ksuvim, and then three from the Nevi'im. And then there's a concluding paragraph which cites one additional Pasuk. So in Malchios, Chonos, and Shofros, we cite a total of 10 Psukim, 10 verses. So after this introduction, now we say, V'gamas Noach ba'ava zacharta. You also remembered Noach. There are so many questions that we could ask already, so many more we can ask this evening. We're not going to answer every one, but I'd like you to just think for a moment as we read this as to why Noach is selected. After all, Noach, first of all, chronologically precedes Maimon HaSinai. He's not considered to be a Jew in a sense. I mean, obviously, we're all descendants of Noach. We speak about the universal community as being B'nai Noach, but it's interesting that the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah would have turned to this episode in history as being a point of reflection and really inspiration for this bracha. But Noach was remembered. V'tifkedeyu v'dvayishuv rachmim, and you judged him and chose to save him from the Mabul and have mercy upon him and his offspring. V'aviyachu esmei ha-Mabul, when you brought the waters of the flood, the shachez kobasar, to destroy all of life, because of the evil actions of corruption and immorality. Since Noah was considered righteous, his zichron, his remembrance, came before you favorably. To increase his offspring like the dust of the earth, as we are testament today. It says, and his descendants, like the sand of the seashore, Kakasubasar Sechos, it says, here's the first pasuk, Vayizkar lehim es Noach, es kol achayiv, es kol abehema, shiritoba teva. That God remembered Noach, and all of the wild animals, and all of the living creatures that were with him in the teva. Vayaver lehim ruach, and the spirit of comfort passed before the master of all God, alo oretz, on the land, vayashoku amayim, and the waters subsided. The next pasuk comes from Parsha Shemos, and this is talking later in history. When Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, by Yishmalu himes nakasam, by Yizkar lehimes briso, asavrim yizchok v'yisyakov. Hashem heard the naka, the cry of Bnei Yisrael, and he remembered the bris of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Please note as well that the word bris and the theme of bris is one which appears repeatedly throughout this bracha, and actually we're not there yet, but the concluding words of this bracha is Zocher HaBris. So there seems to be this concept of a covenant even though that's not really what wouldn't seem on the surface to be the central theme of the bracha of Zichronos. V'nemar, and finally, and again, this is not what it says on your sheet, but given that, you know, initially we daven Nusach Ashkenaz, in our Machzor, and we'll say, V'nemar, v'zacharti yisrisi Yaakov, v'afis b'isi Yitzchak, v'afis b'isi Avram Ezkov, v'eretz Ezkov, the pasuk that is found in Parshat Chukosai, at the conclusion of the first Tochacha, not the one that we read this past Shabbos, but the earlier one. So there's a concluding verse of consolation which says, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I remember the bris of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and I remember Eretz Yisrael, and there will be consolation. So those are the three psukim from the Torah. Ubedivrei kachachadis, these are now the three psukim from the Ksuvim. Kasuv Leimor, it says, Zecher asa leniflo sov chanun racham Hashem. God established, this is the way the Mefarshim explains this pasuk, Shabbos, Yom Tov, other mitzvos to remember him, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gracious and kind and compassionate. It's not clear on the surface what this pasuk proves, but clearly at the very least, the word Zecher is there, and there are of course deeper explanations. V'nemar, and also says in Tehillim, Terech Nasan L'Reyav, that God gave man to those who feared him in the desert, Yizkar Li'olam B'Yisov, and therefore remembered his covenant, his bris with the Jewish people. V'nemar, and it also says in Tehillim, Vayizkar Lahem B'Yisov, that God remembered for the nation of Israel the covenant they made with their fathers, Vayinochem Kerov Chasadav, and he relented from bringing evil upon Bnei Yisrael according to his abundant kindness. And finally, the last three psukim, Ba'ayidei Avadecha, Nevi'im Kasuv Leimor. Three psukim from the Nevi'im, first from Yirmiyahu, Haloch v'karas of Azne Yerushalayim Leimor. Go out and call this prophecy in the ears of the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. Ko amar Hashem zachayti lo chesed nurayach. Hashem said, I remember the kindness that you did for me when you left Mitzrayim. Avas kulosayach. The love that we had, like the love of a kala, when we were wedded to God. Lechteich acharei b'amidbo, you followed me into the desert, be'eretz lo zura, land that was barren, there was nothing to eat, and you came and followed me. V'nemar, and it says, v'zacharti ani b'isi osach, v'meinu rayach, v'akimosi loch bris olam. I remember the covenant that I made with you in the days of your youth at Mount Sinai, and I will fulfill it with an everlasting bris. V'nemar, and it says, havein yakili Ephraim, is my nation of Israel, which is a far to as who hears Ephraim, my precious son who has never sinned. Im yelad shashuim, he is like a desirable child, like a father plays, delights in his child, kimidei davivo, and any time that I talk about him, Hashem says through this Navi, zachor as kirenu od, I will remember him in a positive way, akein hamu me'aylo, and I will have a sense of yearning for him, rachem acharem acharem acharachamenu um Hashem, and I will therefore have mercy on him, so says Hashem. And now we conclude with the final paragraph of this bracha. Remember us before your throat of glory, and judge us with the judgment of salvation and mercy from the uppermost heavens before the thrones of glory. And recall, remember, Es Abris, the covenant, chesed, the tremendous kindness that Avram did, and remember the promise that you promised Avram Avinu, where? Bahara Moriah, at the site of the Akedah. V'seiro elu fanecha, and let it be seen before you. Akedah, she'achar Avram Avinu, as Yitzchak b'no, the Akedah which Avram brought his son Yitzchak on this day of Rosh Hashanah, Agadim Mizbeach, the Kavash Rachamav, and he suppressed his fatherly instincts to have mercy on his son, la'asos son chabalev of Shalem, in order to fulfill your will with a full heart. Kain, so too yichbashu rachamecha, es kafcha me'aleinu. Hashem, you should also suppress your anger, so to speak, from acting against us. And with your great goodness, you should restore, you should pull back your anger, me'amcha, from your people, me'yircha, from your city, u'minachla secha, and from your heritage, the Beis HaMikdash, v'kayim lanu Hashem elokeinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should bring about the fulfillment, that which you promised in your Torah, as it says, v'chadi lehem bris rishonim, I will remember the bris, the covenant of earlier generations, asher hotzesi osam yitzusayim le'enei agoyim, that I extricated it from Mitzrayim before the nations, li'os lehem le'luhim ani Hashem. Ki zocher kol anishkachos, for you remember all the things that are forgotten by us. Hatov mi'olam, that you've always and eternally existed, ve'en shichacha lefnei chizecha v'decha, there is nothing that is forgotten before your throne of glory. V'akedis yitzchok lezaro hayom v'rachamim tizkor. And therefore we ask that you remember akedis yitzchok on this day. Baruch Ato Hashem, Zocher HaBris, the bracha concludes with a blessing to Hashem, who remembers the covenant, the bris that we had, that he made with Avram Avinu at the time of the Akedah. So, again, it's a lot to digest. It's a lot to assimilate into our minds and our consciousness, and I hope, at the very least, even if we get nothing else this evening, having had a chance to just read that together and just take it in for a moment before Rosh Hashanah, I hope that in itself would be helpful. Now, for those who were here last week, and even if you were not here last week, I want to point out something that may already be obvious. And if it's not, I think it's important to make this point. And that is that Malchios, as we spoke about last week, was a bracha, which spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's being the only source and power in this world. How everything and anything that happens around us is all a demonstration of the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on the day of Rosh Hashanah, the day which represents the beginning of the renewal of the world, we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's complete and total sovereignty over the world. In other words, the bracha of Malchios means that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu matters. And what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says and does and thinks and how he acts is really the only force of influence in the entire world and our lives. And the bracha of Zechronos, if you pay close attention, has two themes. Perhaps the dominant theme, the one which we'll talk about in a moment, is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers everything, which we have to explain what that means. But there's another underlying theme, and that is that we are held accountable for our actions. In other words, our actions count also. That what we do, and not only what we do, but even what we think, as we saw in this bracha, that also matters. And when you put those two together, they seem to be somewhat at odds with each other. Which one is it? Is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world and doesn't allow for us to act, or does HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow us to input, us to impact and affect our own lives and the lives of the people around us? And the answer is both. On the one hand, we say, Melo chol ha'aretz kivodo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory fills the entire world, leaving no room for us. But on the other hand, through that which the Chachmei Kabbalah called Tzimtzum, an idea of restriction, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets limits to the world, and we say, Baruch Kavod Hashem Mimkomo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designates a makom for him, which means that he allows a space for us. So somewhat paradoxically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the one hand controls the world, everything about it, including us, but yet he gives us free will and allows us within limits to manipulate the space around us and make decisions for which we are ultimately held responsible. Now, when we look at this bracha of Zechronos, there's an obvious question which should strike each and every one of us, and this is a question that can surface any time we daven, and any time we open up pretty much any tefillah in which we find this word, Zayin Chof Resh, Zecher, Zechor, or any form of that. So we are struck with an obvious question, and that is, what does it mean when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers? Right? What does it mean when we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers? Now, for you and I to remember something, that's an appropriate human experience, because sometimes we forget, and when we are fortunate at times not to forget something, so when we remember. There are things that we remember all the time, because they're very important to us, and they're always at the front of our mind. And there are things that are less important, we sometimes forget, and then we recall them. And then there are things that are so unimportant to us, and maybe it's our minds are becoming a little less, potent as they once were, and a little less effective, and we can't remember anything, or we can't remember certain things, we completely forget them. We say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers anything, everything. So there's something which seems on the surface to be theologically troubling about such a statement, because to remember something implies the capacity to forget. But we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being all perfect and all knowing, is incapable of forgetting. To suggest that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could forget would itself be heretical. So therefore, the suggestion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers has to be explained. Furthermore, perhaps even, I guess, a little more troubling, what does it mean when we say in our davening, Hashem, remember us? Right? Please remember us. What does that mean? Because to directly address HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, remember, again, that would seem on the surface to be chutzpah. Well, of course I remember you. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have to make a conscious effort to remember us. And even if we don't ask for it. So what does it mean, Hashem remembers, remember us? So in the Sefer, maybe we'll come back to Rav Aryeh Kaplan later. This is a section in a book that I don't think I've picked the book up off the shelf in at least, I like to say, 25 years. And somehow today, it's appropriate to the theme. I remembered it. I remember there was something in this book that in which he spoke about the incredible and awesome and frightening reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering everything. So maybe if we have a little time later, we'll come back to that. But I'm already concerned about the late hour. So we'll pass over that quote for the moment. But you're welcome, if you haven't already done so, take a look at it. In source number 4, which is found on the third page, so I want you to take a look with me at a quote from the Sefer Sifrei Chaim. Reb Chaim Friedlander, previous Rosh Yeshiva, one of the previous Rosh, Mashkiach of the Panovich Yeshiva, he says the following. And this is very basic and fundamental, could be applied, like I said, all throughout the year, all of the tefillos. Hazachira etzal Hashem yizbarach ein hazachira uvdos. That when we speak about Hashem remembering something, we don't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is remembering particular incidents or facts or occurrences. Ki bozeh lo shayach etzal shinoi. Because we can't, it's not shayach, it's not really realistic, reasonable to speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgetting something. She'achshav zocher v'lefnekein lo zachar. Now he remembers beforehand he didn't. What that means is HaKadosh Baruch Hu activates one of his midos, meaning the way that God chooses to interact with the world. In Hilatova, if it's a choice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes to activate one of his midos tova, so to speak, which would manifest itself by way of demonstrating rachamim, compassion upon mankind, upon myself, so then that would be Zechira Latova. O Lehefech, Chas V'Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could activate the Midas Hadin. Masha Ein Kein Eitzel La'adam. This is not true when it comes to mankind. Etzlo, when we speak about Zechira by man, who he Siba Lahaf Alat Pula. This is a reason for a choice that we make to act a certain way. Aval Enena Haf Ala Achma. But this is not the actual activation of this Midas, this choice. Kigon, for example, the Torah tells us, Torah says, you'll see the tzitzis, remember the mitzvos, and do them. So in other words, re'iyas ha-tzitzis goremes zechira, seeing the tzitzis cause us to remember, va-zechira mevi'il de'asiyah, that brings us to action. That's not true when it comes to God. So very fundamentally and basically, because we're going to see the word countless times in the Machs over Rosh Hashanah, when we speak about Rosh Hashanah being Yom HaZikaron, I know how it's translated. I'm not suggesting that we take a black pen and go through every matzah. That would be unnecessarily be radical, and I'm not sure it would necessarily be appropriate. But we shouldn't dare at the same time to simply understand that the word Zechira, Zikaron, Zechor, all forms of this word, as we see in a matzah or in the Siddur, simply mean remember. Because by doing so, we really reduce HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a human level, and we sort of miss the point. The point is, Yom HaZikaron is not just a day of remembrance, because every day is a day of remembrance. Yom HaZikaron means a day of accountability. Yom HaZikaron is a day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu activates, responds again to our actions, either through, again, rachamim, or din, or a combination of the two. And it's important to recognize that while we use the same word in Hebrew to describe our experience of Zechira, remembering or forgetting, that's not true when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's another quote which I'd like to share with you. I'll read it outside. It doesn't appear on in the sheet you have in front of you, but also coming from just the next page in the Sefer Sifrei Chaim. So Friedlander continues and he says the following. He says, when it comes to our own experience, when it comes to human beings, the quality, the strength of one's memory, and the way that a person reacts, atoloi zeboze. One, they're dependent on the other, but they're two different things. Eitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hazikaron hu hafalos hamasim. When we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remembering means, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's acting, reacting to us. The easy karon, what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't remember? Because we're calling Hashem. So that means Hester Panim. That's what it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, we don't feel His proximity. Sheina Hashem Yisbarach Ma'afil is Shifa, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not activating that connection that we would feel. Kemuvan, it's understandable, but just like our own human experience. Yesh Eitzel Hashem Yisbarach Madregos. We can remember things very well or not so well. And the same is true with Hashem. that a strong memory from Hashem would be Ha'aras Panim Shleima. That would be God shining His light, so to speak, upon us, so we feel tremendous rachmim and grace and kindness from Hashem. And God's weak memory, so to speak, would be feeling a very, very weak, a very dim connection. That's what we call Hester Panim. So even when we speak about, you know, asking Hashem to remember us, what we are really saying is be generous to us, be kind to us, and allow us to feel a greater sense of connection to you. But we don't merely mean in a very, very simple and human way, remember us. Now, what is the relationship between Zechira, between the way we're describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Zechira, remembrance of us, so to speak, and us? You know, or said somewhat differently, what do we need to do in order to activate a positive zikaron on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If this is the day, as we say in our davening, Hashem, zachreinu b'zikaron tov lefanecha, please remember us for a good zikaron. We're going to say those words so many times in so many different forms over the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. So how do we achieve that goal? What can we do in order to be able to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ask Him to do that? So I turn you once again, refer you once again to Rav Friedlander a little later in this essay. And he writes the following. We'll read this together. This is very important and very powerful. Ad kama Hashem Yisbarach zocher osanu. How much does God, so to speak, remember us? And again, I'm not going to give the whole spiel again every time, but when we see those words at this point, we know that doesn't just merely remember, because God always remembers us. But to what extent do we feel the zikaron of Hashem? Zataloi ad kama she'anu zocher nasam Hashem Yisbarach. This depends on how much we remember Him. Kishana omrim chas v'shalom ein elukim b'kirbi. When we say, God forbid, that, God's not here, I'm all alone. When we don't appreciate and feel the role of God in our life, im kain, Hashem yisbarach mastiras panav. So God reacts to that by saying, okay, if you don't see me, so I won't make myself be seen. And one could have thought, it would be the other way around. That, right, it's hide and seek, right? One would thought that if a person is hiding from God or pretending he doesn't, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will try to, you know, follow him and get in his face. But we see that's not necessarily so. If a person says, you know, there's no God in my life, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be master as panav. Hashem is baruch ilu meisiyach has daito meitanu. It's as if he ignores us. Ba'oso shiur shanachnu masich mesatin mimenu. Commensurate with the degree to which we ignore him. This is true for the individual and it's true for the community. And again, as we said before, God forgetting us and ignoring us, that what that really means is that He will limit the extent to which He will influence us with grace and kindness. As Shmiras Amula, and therefore we will not have the special providence, the special Shmira, the special protection that we could have. Hashem Yisbarach Misnai Gitanu Ki'ilu Anu Mishlachim LeMikrim, and He'll treat us as if our whole life is just one big set of coincidences. And I want you to realize as well, you know, some will argue that this is merely, you know, a psychological experience. I don't think Rav Friedlander would agree, and I think it could be both. But doesn't mean we're making it up. Think about it. The more a person looks for God in his life, the more you will discover Him. So is that just convincing ourselves that things are there and they're not really? Or no? Or what we're actually seeing is we're seeing the reciprocation on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, you are being zocher me, so I will be zocher you. Mi'idach is, on the other hand, a person who constantly remembers God, so to speak, he will be protected, potentially, from very hazardous sources. I, with all due respect to the Mashkiach of Panovich, has anyone else said such a thing? Was Friedlander the first to suggest such a profound idea? And the answer is no. He quotes the Rambam. Kach mazvi ha-Rambam b'mor nevuchim. The Pasuk says, we're familiar with this Pasuk, we say it at Shabbos morning, ki vi chashach fa'al fateyu, Asagveyu ki yadashimi. What does that? What do those mean? Kibi chashak, because he desired me. Va'afalteyu, and therefore I will rescue him. Asagveyu, I will provide him shelter. Ki yadashimi, because he knows my name. So who is speaking in this pasuk? This is God, so to speak, speaking and saying, because he is the man has desired me. Va'afalteyu, I will rescue him. The Rambam explains shecheshek, that word desire, which is used in this pasuk. This is an expression of a very, very strong connection, more than love. We know that the word yadia, as it's found later in this pasuk, speaks a very strong connection. Quotes psukim, other psukim which demonstrate this idea. A person who is constantly connected to God in his mind, believes hesach hadas, without any interruption of thought, so such a person finds shelter from even the most dangerous of, again, of predatory of forces, which is in fact the theme of this perek, which is called Shir Shel Pegoyim. Perek Sadi Aleph in Tehillim, it's very frightening. It's a very frightening perek. It's actually, we say it at Levaya as we're escorting a nifter to his final resting place. The idea being that there are all sorts of hazardous forces about, and in the Shir Shel Pegoyim, the pasuk says, "Kivi chashach v'afalteyu." If you would just walk bichoshek me, if you would cling to me and yearn for me, which again is stronger than ava, then you're completely protected. The Ramban also explains the pasuk, "Ein Hashem al yireyav l'miyachalim l'chazdo." HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns his eyes, so to speak, to those who fear him, to those who yearn for his chesed, sheyesh hashgachim yuchedus al eila hadvekim tamid b'Hashem yizbarach, hamatzila osami kol pega, hashgachim yuchedus zehu zikaron Hashem yizbarach hashalim. That there's a special protection that a person earns, that he achieves, when he recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if you go back, we're not going to go back and work through the whole thing again, but if you go back now to the bracha that we read before, you'll notice something that, maybe was obvious to you tonight, or maybe in the past. But I will tell you, it was not obvious to me, certainly not this week, and perhaps not in the past as well. And that is that we start off the bracha talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tremendous breadth of access to the entire world. He sees everything, he remembers everything, there's nothing hidden from him. And then, almost like without any explanation, we say that what? Ashrei yish shelo yish kacheka. Right in the middle. Fortunate is the one who does not forget God. Ki darshecha li'olam lo yikashelu. Because those who seek him will never trip, will never fail. Lo sachlinu netzach holosim bo. Ki zecha kol yisur bo lefanech v'atod ha'resh ma'asei kulam. So we stick in the middle of there, almost an inspiration, a directive to each and every one of us to remember God. Now what is that doing there? After all, the whole point of this bracha is that God remembers us, right? That's the theme of Zachronos. So we see from here, it really is somewhat of a bilateral relationship. That it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers us, and he knows everything. But on a deeper level, we're saying over here, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's responding and reacting to our level of Amun and Bitachon is really what Zachronos is all about. Because when we say Zachreinu b'zikaron tov l'fanecha, we don't just mean remember us. We mean allow us to feel your presence, allow us to feel your influence, that we should be zochet to such a high level of Ashgacha Pratis. The way we achieve that, and the way we earn that, is by remembering him. So, it's in a sense, it's really quite simple, in a sense. And just as we said, last week, we've said this idea in the past, there are times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks us to take sort of the first step, and he follows. That's the theme of Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. Ani L'Dodi, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will follow. In the Sefer Yikarim, so we find the very same idea, quotes also from the Rambam, he says it somewhat differently in source number 6, Kishiur Hashgacha Tia Kefi Shlemos HaKoach HaSichli Shebiyadam. The degree to which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's providence, Hashgacha Pratis, manifests itself in the world, and over specific individuals, is going to follow the degree to which a person develops and cultivates his seichel, Now, when the Rambam uses the word seichel, and over here we find the Sefer Karm as well, it's not quite the same way we use the word seichel. Well, we speak about seichel in a very, very specific way. We speak about seichel being the intellect of man. The Rambam also certainly means it's intellect, but he means really the entire, you know, spiritual persona of man. So his emotions and his intellect. So the Rambam says that to the extent that a person can develop and develops his seichel as opposed to merely his guf, he will earn a special hashgacha. V'imkein mishehishlim nafshlo, very important words. I'm sorry for not underlining this. Kifi ha-koach hanitanbo, which means as much as a person can. God never asks more of us than we are capable of doing. Every person has different abilities. But in accordance with the ability that I've been given, to the extent that I go ahead and I work on that and try to develop myself as a spiritual thinking being, Yoser roi shetidbako hashgacha elokis yoser. So I become more deserving of a greater hashgacha pratis. Umishalo yashlim nacho. A person who doesn't spend time doing that, wastes his whole life just with nourishkeit, hine yushav madregas habalichayim. So in a sense, what he's doing is he's reducing himself to the level of an animal. Veroi shetistalik meilav hashgacha elokis. Animals do not have hashgacha pratis. They are living, but they don't have hashgacha pratis. There's no accountability for animals as oschaka onesh. When a human being basically lives his life like an animal, so he loses that right to be deserving that special hashkacha pratis, which of course is something that we all want. And we asked the question before, what's Noach doing in the bracha of Zichronos? And again, it's of course nothing against Noach, but we would have thought that maybe, you know, that there would have been other, you know, episodes in history that perhaps would seem a little more relevant to us on Rosh Hashanah. So very interesting, if you take a look at the story of Noah, we know the story, and we know basically what happened. The world was corrupt. The world was immoral. Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses to destroy the world, and somehow finds favor in Noah. He seems that there are some redeeming qualities in Noah, and sees the Noah being worthy of being of surviving the flood, and ultimately being the ancestor of all those of all the survivors who would live for all of history, including us. So as we know, it says in the beginning of Parshas Noach, in source number 7, Vayomer Elokim leNoach, Keitz kol basar bo lefanai, ki malo aretz chamos mipneihem. V'hineini mashchisam es haaretz, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that is because of the Isser of Gezel, that it was a sort of the final straw. That's what made HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide to destroy the world. In other words, the world was destroyed, why? Because of corruption, immorality, because of the fact that people couldn't get along with each other. In fact, there's a Rashi later on in Parshas Noach that points out that the Dor HaMabul was destroyed with his Dor HaFlaga when it came to the tower that was destroyed. So there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't destroy the world. And the reason Rashi says is because at least there was Shalom. As long as there's peace in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can work with this. When people don't get along with each other, forget it. So the whole world was corrupt. There was corruption, there was Gezel, there was Chamas, there was immorality. People were stabbing each other in the back, right and left. And Noach had some redeeming qualities. What did Noach spend the entire year doing in the Teva? Feeding animals. The pasuk at Tehillim, which is often cited and associated with Noach, Ki Amarti Olam Chesed Yibaneh, because Baruch Hu said the world has to be built on Chesed. And as the Medrash tells us over here, the Medrash Tanchuma tells us that Noach basically he didn't sleep for an entire year. He and his kids spent the entire day from morning to night taking after animals. Right? If anybody here has a pet and sometimes complains, I clean up after this thing and feed this thing and make some mess all over the place. So here, the Medrash praises Noah that what did he do for an entire year? He basically was a zookeeper. And not only that, the famous Medrash tells us over here that it wasn't easy because every animal had its own diet and its own food. And one night, nobody knows why, a bad night, the lion woke up on the wrong side of the cage. And he bit Noah, and Noah was injured. And Medrash quotes a pasuk to demonstrate this idea. So what did Noah, again, for an entire year he did nothing to the chesed. It was a very, you could argue it was a very, it was a low level of chesed. I mean, there is a concept of chesed towards animals, it's an issur tzar balei chayim, but that's not necessarily the highest level of chesed that we strive for in this world. But that was enough for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make that the seeds upon which, through which, the world would be regenerated. And what you see over here, in a sense, is sort of a demonstration of the very thing that we're trying to point out over here, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to us. When the world acts in an immoral, unjust way, So HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to that, those, you know, that behavior. And when the world, and in this case it was just a handful of people, reacts or acts and behaves in a moral way, in a positive way, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts in kind. I think that, you know, last week I tried when we were learning about Malchios, and I'm not sure how much I succeeded, but I wanted very much for there to be sort of a lemaisa message when it comes to Malchios, as to what we can do, what we can think about on a very practical level to help us prepare us. So Zichronos, in some ways, and I'm actually surprised about this, because I would have expected, and I think I did expect, going to Malchios, find a little more difficult to sort of wrap our heads around it, or hands around it, and Zichronos would be easy. But I'm actually finding the opposite. I found that last week in preparation for Malchios, I felt that we were able to offer some very, very concrete examples as to how we can, you know, work with Malchios and apply it, integrate it within our life in a way that helps prepare us for Rosh Hashanah. And I'm just finding Zichronos to be completely just overwhelming. And it's very frightening if we take it at face value and what it means. But we have to try. I think if there's one thought, if there's one particular idea that I think we should really try to hold on to, and we started with this sort of, you know, this satire in the beginning about the permanent record. And we said, you know, somewhat, cynically that, you know, we people used to believe in this permanent record and nobody believes it anymore. So, you know, it happens to be, there is a measure of truth to that. I'm not sure when this was written, but, you know, one could argue that, ironically, that even though I'm not sure that necessarily people feel a degree of accountability, but in the digital age, in the age of information, as it's so called, so I think we have once again been given, the Hashgacha has provided us with a, I'm not going to call it a gift, I'm not sure that it's a gift, but it has given us a very, very real, concrete example of HaKol B'Sefer Nechtavim, that everything is written down. And it's actually quite frightening. You know, I was naive a couple of years ago when CVS offered me a card that I could swipe and get discounts. It didn't occur to me at the time that, someone was actually, you know, keeping track of every item that we bought and why we're in some computers in some places are making all these cheshbonus, and so therefore when it suggests the coupons the next time I come, so it's quite frightening. And whenever you type something in the computer, even if you decide to erase it, even if you don't send it out, it is all recorded and stored, not only in the heavenly computer, but even down here, and how you find it, you know, there are all sorts of, you know, lawsuits in which, you know, major, you know, I guess owners of this data are forced to give it over. So we do have real, real, concrete, living examples of HaKol B'Sefer Nechtavim. So it's true that we don't necessarily believe in the permanent record, but again, you know, the permanent record is more evident than it ever was before. But I do think perhaps more of a tangible message, one that we can perhaps wrap our heads around, although it's not a comfortable thought, is that our actions have consequences, which of course is another very, very important theme of Zichronos. And that is that what we do matters. We are held accountable. We are rewarded for good choices. And we are punished for poor choices. In the Sefer Michtav Eliyahu, and there's a little paragraph over here that's found here in English, he says, first he talks about the idea, this is on the last page, that, you know, we sometimes think that when I have an idea and we forget it no longer exists. But he said that's not true, that even when things are not really in our conscious mind, they're there. And then he says in the second paragraph, one of the subconscious activities of the Yetzer Hara is to hide from us the gravity of our sins and so prevent us from regretting them, and so possibly coming to repentance. People tend to forget their sins, but God will remind us of them soon enough. Even though the smallest of sins are still within us, we direct our attention away from them, and this is what we know as forgetting. Happy is the one, as we say in the Muslim, Shelo Yishkachecha, who's aware of the gravity of his sins and the extent of his liabilities, that forgetfulness has no power over him. I saw something fascinating in the Sefer Tzitzit Chaim. This comes later in the book. Again, the same book that I've quoted from several times this evening. So at the end of this volume, he has a line-by-line explanation of major sections of the Davening Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, really a very wonderful resource. And there's a line that we say in the Musaf, we read it already earlier, Ki ein shechecha lefnei chisei chavodecha, that there is no forgetting before your holy throne. So that's it's a very powerful expression. What does it mean? What does it mean? There's no shichal lefnei chesed. Why not just say ki ein shichal lefanecha? Period. What do we add by saying lefnei chesed chavodecha, before your holy throne? You may remember that several years ago I shared with you Reb Schwab's explanation as why we speak about kisei chavodecha when we leave the bathroom, right? Galoy v'yadur lefnei chesed chavodecha shimim. So we had an explanation for that. That's a separate question. Why do we say in shichal lefnei chesed chavodecha? So this blew me away. Freelander says the following: Yesh lavin madua nizkar kan kisei kavodecha. Hayocholoma in shechol lechvodecha. Hachubi kach. Here's the answer: kisei akavod. What do we mean when we say God's throne? Is mamish a throne, a golden throne with all sorts of jewels? No. Nivna v'lishlama yidei Yisrael osin utzon Hashem Yisbarach. The kisei Hashem is constructed, it is built, it is maintained, and it is enhanced and enriched through our actions. And the extent to which we do so, we are mekadishim shemayim, bekachim mechadim also. So when we speak about the glorious throne of God, what we mean is the throne that we create for Him through our actions. Nimsa shekol maase tov, every good deed, mosif nidbach bebinyan kisei hakavod. Ulehefech, kalavera pogemes bekisei hakavod. Any good thing that we do, so that adds another positive enhancement to the kisei hakavod of Hashem, which of course is completely metaphorical anyhow. And the opposite is also true, that any transgression that takes away from the kisei hakavod, as Chazal say on the pasuk ki yad al kis ka, that there's a hand, so to speak, on the kisei, on the throne of Hashem. Ein Hashem shalim in a kisei shalim. Yesh ra kis velo kis velo kisei. Hashem, the Chazal say that Hashem's name is not complete because it says ka, and his throne is not complete. Ad shiyim chashmo shel amalek, until we see the eradication of the name of Amalek. He calls man shamalek hamoreid v'malchus Hashem nimsa. As long as the force of Amalek is in the world, yesh bo zechil Hashem. V'lochein akisei pogum, and therefore the throne is deficient. V'kach kol chet pogim b'shlemus kisei hakavod, and every sin that we do has that effect. We see from here, how important, how consequential our actions are. And the awesome responsibility that we have as a result of that. And that's why it says, "Ein shichacha lefnei chiseich vadecha." Ki Hakadosh Baruch Hu don komase shelanu beizamid bana o pogam chasu shalom bekisei hakavod. It's all written there. Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to evaluate, so to speak. The kisei hakavod speaks to it. Misibe lekach ein shichacha, ki shichacha forgetfulness shayachas b'davar hanasa lefnei zban rab, something that was done a long time ago. That's totzos hamasa in Rome case, and it's over. Okay, whatever. So nobody, we all forgot about it. But if somebody hurt me and the pain is still present, and I can still look at it, how can I say I forgot it? Whatever we do has an effect, and that effect is still there, and that's why Ein Shichacha Lefnei Chisei Chavodecha. A very, very powerful, and I think also, like I said, maybe somewhat of a tangible thought that we can try to wrap our heads around as we get closer and closer to Rosh Hashanah. The goal, I think, in preparation for the Yemei Adin is to scare ourselves, but not to the point of complete depression. It's to work ourselves into a state of intimidation, that we should feel a tremendous amount of pressure and tension and anxiety, but not to the point where it obstructs us being able to work on ourselves in a productive way, and not to the extent that it blocks us from being able to advance forward. So we have to find that balance, and it's not easy. And I would actually say, in my opinion, it's better to err on the side of caution, meaning if these thoughts are just too overwhelming, too frightening, and we feel it just sort of paralyzes us in our place, so I would read a little less of this and a little more of the positive, more encouraging materials that you may have access to, which talk about the power of tshuva and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no saying the poshim, it's all true. But, you know, if we're here and we want to wrap our hearts and our minds around something, so the Brachos Achronos, like I said, is very, in its raw form, it's something which is quite overwhelming, and it's hard to really take it all in entirely. But if we think about the fact that there are so many decisions that we make over the course of our lives, and how those decisions have consequences, our actions have consequences, and those consequences remain. And shichcha lefneches v'adecha means, because when I make a choice and I go in a certain direction, there's a result, there's a consequence. And the purpose, again, of this time of year, of the Yom HaZikaron, is not merely to make us feel like a deer in the headlight, that the spotlight's being shined on me, and I have to look my finest, but it's to recognize and to appreciate that the extent to which I can remember, so to speak, I can be mindful and connect myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout my life, throughout the day. So commensurate with that, he will actually avail himself to me more. And I don't want to belabor this point, but then maybe I should have said this earlier, but I have a couple minutes. I'll just make the point even more. And that is that in life sometimes when people are experiencing very, very, very difficult, challenging times in life, so there are two ways to react. One way is that a person could just completely turn away from God. But another reaction that people sometimes have, whether it's natural, it's something that they need to develop consciously, is it brings them to a sense of greater, realize they have a greater dependency upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they look for Him more. And ironically, in the time of darkness, suddenly they discover so many signs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Imo Anochi B'tzara at that very time. So, you know, you could really see this in life. You could really see it, that when I remember Him, He remembers me. When I, you know, feel a sense of bitachon and emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I then earn and receive a greater degree of hashgacha pratis, of personal providence, which then I can then feel, I can see it, as opposed to feeling as if everything that's happening to me is just random, I'm just the victim of fate. It may not be true, it may be an illusion, but that feeling of hester panim really comes from within us. And the idea being of ashrei yish shelo yishkacheka, that fortunate is the one who does not forget, because if we remember Him, so then suddenly this bracha of atah zochera kol, the ein shechol of nechaz zef, which seems so ominous and so overwhelming and so depressing, suddenly becomes, you know, quite, you know, assuring in some ways, to recognize and to appreciate that Kadosh Baruch Hu is there with us at all times, and we can develop a greater sense of appreciation and awareness of His presence always. So I want to say that's it. That's certainly not it, but at least hopefully our time that we spent together this evening will help us prepare us for the Yom HaZikaron B'chlal and for the bracha of Zichronos B'frat, and hopefully we should be zoche to really truly appreciate, not only on the day of Rosh Hashanah and the days that follow, but all throughout the lives, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for us all times, and all we need to do is remember Him, so that we could feel that sense of proximity always. Please feel free to return next week, as we will, it wasn't clear, but I think it's probably clear now to anyone who's here, as we will discuss the third of the brachos of Musaf, the brach of Shofros, and also the week that follows, during the Aseres Meshuvah, we will talk about Vidoy. Thank you again for your participation, and we will all be zochet to have a Ksiva Ksiva.